Welcome to the Good Dog Podcast once again. I'm Joanne Green, and today we're going to be talking about retired greyhounds, and in particular, retired greyhounds as pets. My guest is Ken Martin. He's a spokesperson for Michigan REGAP. REGAP is an acronym for Retired Greyhounds as Pets. He also is a foster parent to a greyhound right now, and I'm sure other greyhounds at other times, and owns three of his own. So welcome, Ken. Great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, it's interesting. Many of us have, we joke around about that phrase, oh, I work like a dog. And then we think, you know, I look at my dog and she doesn't get a whole lot of work done. Mostly her life is about playing and sleeping and eating and loving and licking and all of that. But the fact is there are some dogs and some breeds of dog that have always worked throughout history. And one of those breeds, of course, is the greyhound. I mean, they have been trained historically to run at unbelievable speeds, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, greyhounds have, since ancient times, back to biblical times, actually, have been known as racing dogs. And in fact, in the King James Version of the Bible, the greyhound is the only breed specifically mentioned.
Now, is that because they are just uniquely built for speed, because they're just so fast?
Absolutely. I mean, they've been bred by design to be fast dogs. I'm not sure where evolution takes over or where evolution left off and people take over, but at some point in time, their speed became something that folks wanted to exploit, for the sake of racing and hunting.
I live in a part of the country where we don't really have dog racing, as far as I know, but I grew up in the Boston area, and I remember as a child my dad going to the dog track. How many dog tracks exist in the United States today? Is it as prevalent as it used to be?
No, it's not. There are about 50 tracks in 15 states. Most states don't allow greyhound racing. Some never have. Some have since banned it. But it's definitely a sport, if you choose to call it a sport, that's seeing the end of its days, according to the Humane Society of the United States and other folks who keep track of this kind of thing.
And is that because it's particularly cruel to the animals?
I think that's part of it. There's more of an awareness of what happens to the dogs once their racing careers are done. But some of it, I think, is just a trend in gambling. I mean, it's just old, and it's something that a lot of people associate with the 50s and 60s. I really can't explain the lack of appeal today, but I can tell you that statistically, greyhound racing, according to the Humane Society of the United States, it accounts for 1% of gambling proceeds today yearly in the country. So that's not much, really.
I wouldn't think that it's fun for the greyhounds themselves to race.
Well, they like to run, so that aspect of it is fun, I suppose. But they run every fourth day, typically, and a race lasts about 30 seconds, so that's not a lot of exercise.
But what is the problem, then? What happens after they retire?
Well, the sad fact is that a vast majority of them are just put down. Some are sold into research. Some are adopted to groups like ours. But most of them are put down.
And why is that?
There's just not as many homes as there are racing greyhounds. It's that simple.
What kind of numbers are we talking about of greyhounds that
again,
are retired?
Again, I'm going to refer to the Humane Society of the United States is sort of the tracker of this. And their numbers, their estimation is wide. But the latest figures I could find were from 2003, and the estimation is 7,500 to 20,000 dogs were euthanized that year after their racing careers.
That's astounding.
I know, it really is. I mean, it's. I think that as people learn that the industry produces animals, which are then just basically disposed of, that's one of the reasons why the racing industry is on the wane.
So are there organizations like yours? Yours is REGAP in Michigan, the Retired Greyhounds as Pets. I did a Google search on this, and I know there are other different kinds of greyhound rescue organizations in other states.
That's true. In fact, I mean, right here in Michigan, there are Right here in the metro area, the Metro Detroit area, there are four or five other racing, or I'm sorry, rescue groups. Some are adamantly opposed and publicly, vocally opposed to racing, and others remain neutral on the topic. But there are lots of adoption organizations around, and I would imagine that you'd find that in most states.
How does one go about adopting a greyhound if they're so moved by our conversation today?
Well, I guess the first thing I would do, depending on where they live, I would do exactly what you said. I would search for a group online and find one near my home, and I would contact them. Most of them have websites nowadays, so you can go and read up on it. And a fair amount of the organizations have adoption applications right online that you can fill out.
And is there much of a fee to adopt a greyhound?
Well, our fee is $225, which is actually tax deductible because we are a nonprofit group with the appropriate legal status. So it's really a donation to us if you adopt a dog and you can write it off. And I would imagine that that's fairly consistent, at least in Metro Detroit. I can't speak for what the fees would be around the country. But again, it's $225 basically for the younger dogs. Seniors we give a discount to. We have some older dogs that have been returned to us or that have come to us later in life, or sometimes we pull them on the dog pounds. You know, they escape and no one reclaims them. Those dogs tend to be a little older. And we offer a discount for those dogs because you're not going to have a dog for its full life.
And what are we talking about? Tell me about the temperament and the nature of these greyhounds who've started out their lives as racers.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people, when we go around doing meet and greets at pet stores and at festivals and whatnot, they think that the dogs are really high strung. That is the biggest misconception that we encounter. And they're really not. There are a lot of times people compare them to cats because they do a lot of laying around. Right now, all my dogs are just laying. I mean, they're just, you know, sprawled out on the dog beds and one's on the couch.
Yeah, we were sort of hoping for a little bark here or there.
Well, if there's some noise outside, a car door slams or something, you might hear a few barks.
But yeah, Lulu didn't even follow me downstairs into the studio this time. Usually she sits right here when I do these interviews, but she's asleep somewhere too. So
well,
it's time of the day, right?
Yeah, most animals sleep most of the time. So greyhounds are no different. In fact, they probably sleep a little more. We call them 45-mile-an-hour couch potatoes because that's what they do. I mean, they're capable of hitting those speeds within seconds, but they can't keep that up forever. They're sprinters. They're not marathon runners. But most of the time, they prefer to lay around, and they don't need a lot of exercise either. That's the other
thing. Oh, that's interesting. That's a misconception, I'm sure.
Yeah, they assume that, oh, these dogs love to run, so I have to, you know, be a jogger or something. You don't have to be. We have a very small backyard, and to get in the right exercise, we just walk the dogs twice a day.
And that's enough.
And after work, and that's really enough. Yeah.
And they have very sweet dispositions, don't they?
Yeah, they're very sort of docile animals, and they're very sensitive too. They just want love, and when they find a forever home, they know they're in a better place. At least that's what we think.
We all feel that way, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
So, Ken, tell me about physical problems. Do they have any sort of? I mean, I think about what running. If I were to run 45 miles per hour, what my shin splints would look like, what my hips would look like. How are they?
Yeah, they don't have like a predisposition. Like hip dysplasia in some dogs, they don't have anything like that. I don't want to call them genetic problems, but there are two things that you have to be wary of with greyhounds. And one is that because they're long boned dogs, we see a lot of dogs eventually succumb to bone cancer in their older years. And secondly, their teeth are pretty bad. They have to have their teeth cleaned, I would say, on average once a year, whereas other dogs, they seem to have better teeth. And we're not sure right now if that's a genetic issue or if that's basically because they're fed pretty poor diets when they're on the track that may not lead to full tooth development. It's a thesis for some veterinary student, I imagine, someday down the line.
There you go. Are there other dogs that have been raced over the years, or do greyhounds hold a monopoly on this?
Well, you know, greyhounds are sight hounds, which means that, you know, they, when they see something, they want to chase it. And there are lots of sight hounds. There are Afghan hounds, Borzois, Whippets, Irish wolf hounds, Salukis. Those are all, in other breeds as well, are all sight hounds. And I imagine that it, probably at one point in time, you know, all of these dogs have raced in some form. But as far as organized racing in this country, it's greyhounds.
Greyhounds are king, huh?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that's basically because they're the fastest. When they're short hair breed dogs, which means that they're more sleek. There's less wind resistance than, say, a long-haired dog.
Oh, they're aerodynamically amazing, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct.
Now, is there such a thing as a fat greyhound?
Well, if you overfeed them, they'll get fat.
I've never seen such a thing, right? They're always so sleek. Oh, I bet you have. But it's not like your standard black lab, right, where you have to struggle not to get a fat dog.
No, I would say that's pretty accurate.
All right. So I would think, as someone who's involved with this organization, it would partly be your mission to try to convince dog lovers out there, of which I'm delivering you many here, you know, really try to convince people to consider adopting a greyhound, yeah?
Yeah, we do, although we realize that, just like any breed, a greyhound is not for everyone. There are certain things that we caution against. One of those would be that our group requires that you do not let your dog off leash at any time, unless you are, of course, when you're in the house or when you're in an enclosed area like a big yard or maybe a ball diamond or a fenced-in dog park, because no matter even the older dogs, they see something they want to chase, they're going to chase it.
And you cannot keep up with them, huh?
No, you can't. And part of the issue, too, is that it's instinct that they just chase it until they catch it. Now, that means, you know, no stopping for cars, no stopping, you know, to look both ways before they cross the street.
Yeah, they have a single mission in mind at that moment.
Right, and their eyesight is incredibly keen. So, you know, and it's all kinds of things, rodents, rabbits, paper bags blowing in the wind.
You
it
name it, right?
It's in their eye, and they want to see it, and they want to chase it, you know.
Gotcha. And then it's instinct, right? They go right back to their roots,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to that genetic conditioning. Any other cautionary words?
Well, this is a group-by-group and sometimes a case-by-case basis, but some groups don't like to adopt to too young of children. Greyhounds startle easy when they're sleeping. If you were to step on a dog or fall on a dog, you know, you could be bitten. And with kids who don't maybe listen to their parents as well as they should, or that are too young to actually comprehend that, you know, that could happen. And in fact, when we do have a return dog, that is often the case. My child fell on the dog, and the dog bit my kid. Now my kid's afraid, so I got to get rid of the dog. We hear that all the time.
So who would be the most ideal type of dog owner to adopt a greyhound?
Oh, I would say I don't even know if I could find an ideal. I mean, you know, folks with older kids or folks with no kids. I guess the only exclusionary aspect that I would throw on there would be, you know, really young children. If you were to live in an apartment or a condo with no fence, you would have to walk your dog all the time. And if you're not prepared to do that, then we would encourage you to seek another breed.
I see. But generally speaking, they're friendly, great family dogs.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't say that every single dog of any breed is going to be exactly as I tell you. But generally speaking, they're sensitive, loving, friendly, fun, all that kind of stuff.
Great. So your chapter of REGAP, the Michigan REGAP, serves the Detroit area, but also up into parts of Canada, right?
Yeah, we have a fair amount of foster homes in the Windsor area, as well as throughout the greater metropolitan Detroit. And I should mention that the foster home network is really important. When the dogs come off the track, they are put into a foster home where they can learn the rigors of a house. Because keep this in mind, that when a dog at a track does not know what a window is. So until they have sort of an acclimation to household life, they're going to clunk in or run through the window or the screen. There are no stairs on a track, so the dogs have to be trained to climb up and down stairs. Furthermore, when we get dogs off the track, one of the first things that REGAP does is have the dog spayed or neutered. And the foster home sort of acts as a recuperation station for that dog until they're up and ready to go. We also clean their teeth, and we have any parasites that may be on the dog removed. That could be anything from ticks and fleas to, internal parasites like worms.
So now we're getting a sense of where that couple hundred dollars goes.
Exactly. I mean, most of it I shouldn't even say most. All of it is to vet care. Our foster homes provide, obviously, the sanctuary of a house plus dog food, and REGAP incurs the cost of the medical. So when a dog is adopted, the adoptor has a completely healthy dog.
Excellent. And why don't you give your website for people who may be interested? And as we mentioned earlier, there are many other Greyhound Rescue or retired Greyhound organizations, certainly throughout the United States, perhaps throughout the world.
I think that's true. There is racing in Spain. There's racing in Australia. There's racing in Ireland and England and other places. And all of those dogs need homes. So. we would encourage anyone to consider adopting a Greyhound if they're looking for a breed.
Excellent. Ken, thanks so much for being on Good Dog Today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure, and thanks to all of you for listening to Good Dog Today. I don't know if you remember this, but it's the only podcast with an embedded audio channel that only dogs can hear. Hey, also, if you like what you hear on Good Dog, please, I beg of you, write a review on iTunes. So far, so good in that department, but we could use a few more comments because we want to let more and more people know about the Good Dog Podcast. Please send an email out to your friends or let them all know. We would absolutely love to have them as listeners as well. And finally, love to hear from you directly. In fact, the reason I did this show is that I heard from someone who has a retired Greyhound in the state of Maine. So it works. Send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcast.com.